sabroso.
Welcome back. SOS Doctor, the national station of the CRTV. And like I mentioned, hitherto, we're talking about the use and abuse of drugs in Cameroon. And with me in the studio is Dr. Alistair Mopesimo. Doctor, can you tell us more about yourself?
Dr. Simo is a young Cameroonian, a general practitioner currently serving at Group Medical Saint-Hilaire Bastos, a diagnostic center and a center for ambulatory care.
Okay. So, where did you study?
I studied at the Faculty of Health Sciences, University of Boya.
Oh, all right. So, you're a product of Boya. When he got here, I was asking him if he's French or English speaking, and he said he was an Anglophone, and I was like, wow. Anyway, glad to have you. So, we're talking about the use and abuse of drugs. When we talk about drugs, what do we refer to?
Drugs are chemical substances which we take for therapeutic purposes. But now there are different types of drugs. There are some drugs which we refer to as recreational drugs, which are not taken for therapeutic purposes. They are taken for pleasure purposes. So we have to make the distinction. Are we talking of drugs which have a therapeutic goal, or we are talking of recreational drugs which have a...
But can we not use recreational drugs for the other purpose?
Yes, there's a certain interval at which recreational drugs will be helping for therapeutic purposes, but most of them are addictive. So we normally surpass the therapeutic level and then we start using them for other purposes.
Why do people decide to surpass that?
In their conception, first of all, recreational drugs are not for therapeutic purposes. So you will not see someone who wants to alleviate a pain and will be taking a recreational drug as the primary reason. There might be a secondary motive, but primarily he will set out to get a recreational drug to relieve himself of other things, maybe some depression, or he wants to feel high or something.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what are the kinds of drugs that we have in Cameroon which are not for therapeutic purposes?
We start with the very basic ones. It's a whole scope from powders to liquids to gases even.
Okay, because sometimes we just imagine that, okay, when we hear drugs, we just like to sniff. We don't know that there are other types of drugs.
There are other forms. They come in many, many forms. And of course, since they are not very legal, so they have to smuggle them in different forms, okay, which will not be caught. So from the very simple ones which we see consumed every day, alcohol and cigarettes, those are drugs which we can consider recreational drugs. But essentially, recreational drugs, we are talking about things like cannabis, things like heroin, things like amphetamines, things like amyl nitrates. Those are the kind of recreational drugs we are talking about.
But as a young person, have you ever had friends around you taking drugs?
Well, I've seen some people take drugs. I won't say they were my friends, but I've seen some people around me take drugs.
Okay, and which kind of drugs are they taking?
They mostly take cannabis. That's the one which is vulgar, yeah.
Cannabis, what does it look like?
Cannabis is, they are like dry leaves. Some come like ground leaves. Mm-hmm. And you see they wrap them up in papers like cigarettes or like pipes, and then they smoke them. There are other forms which can be sniffed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So I was wondering, if someone is taking drugs, how would you be able to look at the person and say, this guy is high on cheap drugs?
Well, when you're taking drugs, the symptoms you present with, they vary depending on what kind of drug you are taking.
Okay, but what are the common... I mean, for parents who have children in the house, you notice some changes that will make you to, you know, take action. So, but what are the kind of changes that you expect parents to notice in their children and say, this child is not, you know, normal?
Usually, you will notice behavioral changes. Behavioral changes such as a child who was quiet. You see who was shy, you see the child suddenly becomes very bold, asking you for things he couldn't ask for, looking you in the eye. That's something which can prompt you to think, hey, is this child taking something or not? Or you see a child who usually was open, but now you see he's always closed up in his room. He doesn't want you to get into the room because he's doing something in the room which he will not want you to see. You see the child purchasing some assets such as needles and other things which he's going to inject himself, things which he wasn't doing before. You see children with a lot of wounds on their bodies, which indicate the areas where they inject themselves. A child who usually was interested in going to school, now he tells you he's not so interested in going to school. He wants to do some other thing. He prefers staying at home and then in the evening going out and partying with his friends.
Okay, so those are the basic ones to notice. But from your own point of view, have you noticed more and more that young people are abusing drugs?
Yes, I think more and more people are abusing drugs. There are many reasons why.
In fact, I was going to ask you why so suddenly people are abusing drugs in Cameroon. Is there a problem?
I think they have always been abusing drugs, but it was not something which maybe people were controlling it more.
Yeah.
But now there's a little bit less control on the drugs, but they have always been drugs.
Okay.
And the reason is, if you have friends who consume those things, due to peer pressure, you can be forced to consume it. Or just your intuition might tell you one day, well, let me just try it and see how it feels. And for some people, once you try it, you just want to continue and you never leave it. The effects of those drugs also, they give you some they put you at a certain level that you could never believe that you could attain. Mm-hmm. So some of those things, they make you not want to stop. And we know we are human beings. We are prone to stress, and some people can't handle stress. They need something to get them off this stress. And if you have tried that and you saw that it gave you a good feeling, you always want to go back to it.
Doctor, I wanted to find out from you, you know, more and more people are talking about this tramol. I've never seen it before, but I would like you to describe to us the tramol and how it is used.
Okay. Tramol or tramadol. Or Tramadis.
It's the same thing. Tramadol, Tramadis.
Same thing. Different names.
All right. Mm.
It's a synthetic opioid agonist, which is used to relieve you of moderate to moderately severe pain. That's the therapeutic indication of tramadol.
Okay, so it's sold in the pharmacy.
Yeah, it's sold in the pharmacy. It can go under brand names such as Ultram or Conzip. Those are other names which tramadol is being sold. Or you can go and see it on the generic form tramadol on the market, or Tramadis.
Okay.
So the role is to relieve you of pain, as I said, moderate pain to moderately severe pain.
So it's like you can say, I want to buy paracetamol from the store.
Yes, it's okay. an over-the-counter drug. It will be sold to you. It's different from morphine, which will not be sold to you.
Okay.
So now people get that drug and, instead of taking it orally as they are supposed to take it, they grind it and then they start snorting it up the nose.
All right.
Now, when you grind tramadol and you snort it up the nose, it has a different effect, because the oral effect is going to pass through the liver, where there's a process in the body. So the first pass through the liver to eliminate one or two things and reduce its concentration. But when you snort it up your nose, it passes through the blood vessels in the nostrils. Directly, it gets into the blood system and it goes and crosses the blood-brain barrier. As I said, it's an opiate agonist, so it goes and binds to opiate receptors in the brain, and then it now modulates pain in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But this medication has addictive purposes. When you snort it up the nostrils, as we do, you get to a euphoric high, and then you start feeling like You're very relaxed, you're very happy. Exactly that.
Listeners, if you want to send a question, or if you want to, you know, participate on the program in one way or the other, you can send a message to 681-368-351. 681-368-351. Dr. Simo will take your questions if you have any. So I would like Dr. Simo to tell us, apart from tramadol, which people go and buy over the counter, which other, I don't know why people are like, we say send a message and they are calling. You know, it's funny. So, doctor, which other drugs are common, over the counter drugs that people can, you know, buy and, you know, snort, like you mentioned?
Well, the reason why everybody is talking of tramadol is because it's an over-the-counter drug. The other recreational drugs cannot be bought over-the-counter.
Okay.
So it is illegal. And tramadol is quite cheap. So since people can't afford the other ones, which are more expensive, people now tend to go for the cheaper ones. And they have seen the effects of tramadol, and that's why now they are constantly going to.
But since Tramadol is a major problem in the country, why do we continue to import it, knowing that it is what young people use as drugs these days more often because it's cheap? Do we manufacture it in the country?
No, we don't.
So we import it, right?
Yes.
So my question is it not a problem for us to continue to import this drug?
Well, that would be a problem for those who take the decisions. But the primary aim of letting Tramadol in is not for recreational purposes. They let it in because it helps the doctors to achieve his pain management.
Yes.
Yes, so now we need to educate people on the use of that Tramadol. Maybe they might say it will no longer be an over-the-counter drug. You need a prescription
from
a doctor.
Able to buy it. Voila.
But we can't just say we don't need Tramadol again.
And what about these guys that sell roadside medicines? Because I think that they also have even the ones that are not of good quality.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that one manufactured? Is it here in Cameroon or...
You know, they say everything is possible in Cameroon. So probably Cameroon. There are some people who are manufacturing it locally. Mm-hmm. But the people who sell drugs at the roadside, they are the perpetrators of all these things. Because a young child who is... secondary school, for example, going to get Tramadol, you need to ask the child, what do you want to do with these things? And those people never ask. They just want to sell and make their money. So they let it out.
All right. I'd like you to answer this one really quickly. Doctor, I want to know some of the side effects of Tramadol.
Tramadol has side effects on the GIT. It can cause you nausea and vomiting.
Mm-hmm.
Tramadol normally when taken at therapeutic level. Tramadol could also cause some fatigue in some people.
Mm-hmm. All right. But for the person who is taking it for the other reasons?
For other reasons now, you can have things like seizures, more serious things now. Like, see, you can have the normal symptoms, as I said, but you can have other things now like seizures, convulsions, panic attacks, anxiety disorders, and other medical problems which we can discuss.
Dr. Bishop, we're talking about the effects of the use of drugs, so can you throw more light on that?
Okay, I was saying the effects are from mild to severe. We have GI disorders, nausea, vomiting, we have diarrhea, and we have other more serious complications such as agitation, panic attacks, seizures, repeated seizures. There's also what we call serotonin syndrome, whereby Tramadol causes an alteration in the brain production of serotonin, and most of those behavioral disorders are because the serotonin pathway has been altered.
So where is serotonin found?
It's a neurotransmitter which the body produces.
Where is the neurotransmitter? In the brain? Or?
Yes, it works in the brain.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So it alters the brain production of that neurotransmitter, serotonin, and the patient, the person might have serious symptoms such as increased heart rate, raised temperatures, raised blood pressures, convulsions, and even might get into a coma.
So, but can you die if you take drugs to a certain...
Yes, you can die.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How? Heart attack or...
All these things would alter the internal system and you can have a burnout and go.
I like the way you put it, say, and go. All right, you can continue to send your messages on 681-368-351. Doctor, we have so many messages. Let's just start taking them so that we do not fall short of time. Doctor, since you said drugs reduce severe pains, does it mean it's a good drug to take?
Yeah, it's a good drug. It will always be prescribed by someone who is qualified. So when the person prescribes it, you take it as the person
as
has prescribed.
As a painkiller and not the other way.
Yes, yeah, it's a very good painkiller.
All right. And this one says, what are the negative effects of trauma? We already took that one too. So is it possible for someone to be prescribed cannabis in the hospital for some reasons?
Well, cannabis... And cannabis products such as marijuana, ganja, and other issues, I have not seen them being prescribed in the hospital. I doubt that they will be prescribed in the hospital because those have direct recreational purposes. They are not for medical purposes. On the contrary, things like heroin. Heroin will not be prescribed in the hospital, but heroin is made from the same plant that we produce things like morphine, because the medical content of heroin is their morphine, and is prescribed to people. So, cannabis, no. I don't think cannabis can be prescribed
in the
hospital.
So why do people cultivate marijuana in Cameroon?
if people are cultivating it, is because it's a huge market.
Okay.
Those things are not very cheap. You sell them maybe £5 or something. So in Cameroon, that can be like 5,000, 10,000.
All right.
And since there's an addiction, you always need them. You always need them.
So there's always a market for
it. There's always a market for it. And now the youth are going into that market. More and more, they want to get those drugs. They have seen some of their friends who tell them the effects of those. They want to try it. And they are going now. It means the market is getting bigger.
Right, yeah.
So those people will continue cultivating and they want to be selling it.
This explains why the Interministerial Committee that was created seeks to, you know, curb the cultivation and, in fact, to stop the cultivation of marijuana. Please, doctor, can tramol lead to low sperm count that you cannot be able to fertilize your wife?
I can't speak of all the side effects. Maybe there are some studies which say that, but I can't really give a yes or no.
Okay. This one, can a parent who takes drugs be able to dissuade his son or daughter from taking drugs? From Gule Thomas in Yaoundé.
It's a little bit difficult because children tend to copy what they see being done around them. So if you're doing, how then do you ask me to stop? It's even more difficult when I have started and I see that it makes me attain some levels which I can't attain normally. And how then are you telling me to stop when you're continuing it?
All right. So this other message from 6813-68351. Dr. Some people say that they take drugs in order to easily forget about their burning problems psychologically. Is this a myth or is it a reality? From Azu Ignatius in Goundary.
No, it's not a myth. It's a reality. Some people get into this because they want to forget problems. At the start, we spoke about stress. We are stress prone. But some people feel they can't deal with that stress on their own. But I side with the people who think that you can overcome anything with your head. And you have the ability to overcome it just from within. You don't need something extra from the exterior to come and help you calm yourself down or deal with some problem.
I think that is too simple. You know, see, until you've walked in someone's shoes, you cannot be able to tell what they are facing. But for people who are taking drugs for this purpose, how else can they get themselves out of this without taking drugs?
Well, you need what we call psycho-education. It starts with psycho-education. I'll tell you that at Group Medical Center, there's no month which has passed that we have not received maybe a call from a head of an institution telling us he's sending us some children to talk to them concerning drugs because they are consuming those drugs. And we normally link them up with the psychologist and they discuss with those children. At the beginning, it's difficult. We can't just ask you to stop.
Of course, yes. It does that.
We look for measures to try to reduce the number of times you are taking those drugs until you stop them completely. But there are some people that they have passed the level for psychoeducation and they just need detox.
So when you stop abruptly, can it have some negative effects on you?
Yes, it's going to have negative effects on you. You have a withdrawal symptom.
So,
meaning you can instead plunge into, like, for example, you were taking it because you were feeling depressed, and now you completely stop it. Your depression is going to worsen.
Okay.
If you are having panic attacks as a side effect of taking them, now when you stop, you're going to have more panic attacks.
All right, so you have to stop gradually.
Gradually. You can't just stop abruptly.
Okay. Or maybe you find something to replace.
That's the thing. That's why we talk of psychoeducation, because during those your sessions, they are going to tell you which things you can transfer that energy, that addictive energy to. You can transfer it to something else which is going to make you not to take the substance in question.
Something else like what?
Well, someone who...
Like activities...
Maybe an activity, maybe some exercise which they are going to give you, but they always have their some things that they always ask them to do when they feel like they need to consume this product.
Okay. This other message says, Doctor, I'd like to know the adult and children prescription of tramol. You cannot just come to the radio and prescribe tramol, right?
No, there are indications, and the dose is going to vary based on the indication.
All right.
If you need tramol for a particular reason, you can come to my hospital. I'll prescribe you tramol.
Of course. Doctor, please say that they take drugs in order to easily forget. Okay, we're too for taking that one. Doctor, is cannabis in any way helpful or does it have any positive effects?
For the person taking it and wants to feel the way he's feeling, it's positive. But from a medical standpoint, I don't think there's any positive.
But in the long term, if you continuously take cannabis, what are the other illnesses that you can have from taking drugs? Complications that arise from taking drugs?
Cannabis. Complications which arise from taking cannabis are the same complications which arise from taking any other drug.
Okay.
One, I'll start medically. Infections. So infections such as HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C.
Because usually they share the needles,
They share the needles. You don't take it alone. Once you take it and you start feeling good, you want others to take it. So you convince your friends around to come and take them.
Okay.
And now you push share. Once I prick myself, I give you, you prick yourself. So there's, you can easily spread those viral infections.
Okay.
Then there's the addictive part. Once you start taking them, you become addicted. And once you become addicted, it's difficult to revert, so you just remain in that addictive phase. Also, the cost of maintaining a routine substance, to constantly get a routine substance, is high, because those things are expensive.
Of course.
And once you can't have them, you tend to steal and you tend to do other things to have them at all costs, because you are addicted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's also the problem of social problems, because your behavior is going to be altered. Now you might turn in your relationships tend to beat the person up or be more violent, or you are no longer so interested in the other person. So relationship wise there's a problem. Not only that, you might also have problems in your house with other family members, because your behavior become rash. It can lead to depression. It can lead to panic. You start having more severe medical problems. You can have hallucinations. You can have seizures, and so on and so forth.
Sometimes when I watch films and I see people who take drugs are always itching their body. Is that another way of manifesting that you're on drugs?
Well, not itching. They are just high, so they are hyper. They are always anxious. You see them always trying to make movements because they are anxious. It's not really itching of the body.
Right.
So they are just anxious, and many things are going through their mind. They can even be like that. They are seeing many things which are not real.
Okay. Doctor, for people who really work very hard, you know, extra time, sometimes they say they take drugs to be able to resist, no, too much workload. Is that advisable?
I will still say no, but it's just my opinion. I also work hard, but I don't take drugs.
Hmm.
And I'm surviving. So I don't see why another person who is working hard should take drugs. It's all in the head.
All right.
If you already believe that without taking a cup of something or sniffing something you cannot do, then there's no way you'll be able to do it. But if you believe that you can go through without taking something, you're going to go through.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And what's the difference between drug use and drug abuse?
Drug use, as a term, is clearly is for a purpose. So it's going to give you an advantage, and the benefit is going to outweigh the risk for the drug use. Now, drug abuse is an overdose. So you have crossed the limit where you were supposed to have the therapeutic benefits or whatever benefit you wanted. So now it becomes an abuse.
All right, I take these messages. Doctor, in Cameroon, which are the common drugs that youths abuse?
Youths currently abuse what we call Tramadol, what we have been discussing.
Talking about, yeah.
There are some youths who abuse caffeine, what is found in tea, what we consume, but that's not yet very pronounced.
Okay.
Because for you to abuse caffeine, you must take it at a considerable level, and there's no drug on the market which is just caffeine.
Yeah.
It's mostly associated with other components, but at a very minute level, the quantity, the dose is small, so mm-hmm. you can take excess of it and then you get high. But mostly now it's Tramadol and the other typical recreational drugs such as cannabis, marijuana, heroin, and cocaine.
Do we have cocaine in Cameroon?
I think there's cocaine. I would not say that I've seen people.
I mean, when someone comes to the hospital, is it possible for you to test their blood and know the exact drug that they were on?
Alcohol, yes, but marijuana, I don't think we are capable of testing to know that, okay, this is the level of marijuana this one has consumed or not.
All right, I take this other message. Doctor, if someone is on drugs for a very long time, is it possible for the person to have a mental problem? In fact, I've seen people on the streets talking but they're not really mad, you know. Is that one of the effects of drugs?
Some of them on the streets are drug related. Okay. They have those problems because they were taking drugs. So it's a series. You start depression, then you go to hallucinations. You see things which are not. You see things which are not there, and from hallucinations you start.
How does hallucination manifest itself?
There's visual hallucinations. There's auditory hallucinations.
Okay.
And there's hallucination. You feel like maybe someone is touching you. Mm-hmm. So you start hearing voices which are not there. If you start following those voices, listening to them, that's how you keep going. And
you can start accusing people in the village that they are following you for witchcraft when you don't know that it is those drugs. Okay, good morning to you all in the studio. Doctor, I'd like to know... we already took this one. Doctor, do you mean cannabis plant isn't medicinal?
No, cannabis plant is medicinal at a certain level. Now, you who consumes it without knowing at what level it is medicinal, cannabis... Quinine, you know quinine, is made from the cannabis plant.
Okay.
So it's medicinal. Then it has been studied and it has been extracted. A particular dose is extracted to give you some positive therapeutic outcome. But now you who consumes cannabis, such as the leaves, the dried leaves of cannabis, you grind them and you smoke them, and it's instead giving you a euphoric high. That's no more medicinal.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get me wrong. All plants are medicinal. But now what in those plants, at what quantity do they cross the therapeutic goal and then now they start becoming harmful? That's what we don't know.
Doctor, what are the socioeconomic conditions in Cameroon that makes youths abuse drugs more and more? That one is a technical question.
A very technical question. Well, socioeconomic, I'll give you the socioeconomic conditions, but it's good to know that it's not only because of the socioeconomic conditions in Cameroon that people...
Youth abuse drugs even with their own problems.
That's the thing. So every country has its own. I just think in our own country, we'll not say it's because of idleness, because I know youths who were idle and they transformed their idleness into something
very useful.
More.
Yeah.
Yes. So maybe for me, I think it's just... Most of those children, they first of all want to copy their parents.
So are you saying that children who take drugs have parents who take drugs too?
Yes, most of the time their parents take drugs. Their parents might be alcoholics or smokers, and they see that now when they go for their parties or other things to snacks, they see these pipes and they want to smoke them. They smoke the pipes. And
in fact, this trend with shisha.
Shisha.
Is that a drug?
Shisha, well, I've never smoked shisha, but those who have smoked it tell me that when they finish smoking it, they are high. So I believe that there is something in the shisha. It's probably a cannabis-like product which is put in the pipe for them to smoke.
And more it's becoming en vogue. In fact, the other time I was out with my friend and she's telling me, you know, take it. It's just the flavor is like chewing gum. I'm like, seriously? If I start here, where am I going to stop?
And that's how most people start. Now, when you take shisha and you're fine, someone will propose you something else and tell you, no, if you take this one, it's even better than shisha.
Uh-huh.
And since you took shisha and it was so nice, you'll be like, no, let me try this one. And that's how you start trying this.
Start finding yourself. So peer pressure has a lot to do.
Peer pressure has a lot to do. Parents have to watch the kind of friends with whom their children work with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then this one is asking, who is more likely to become addicted to drugs?
To drugs? Anybody who consumes drugs regularly is more likely to
become addicted. Doctor, many students say they started drugs because their parents were not available or were not there for them. Is that enough reason for someone to become addicted to drugs?
It could be enough reason for a child, because a child always needs guidance. If there's no one to guide you and tell you this is not correct, this is wrong, it's not your fault. It's out of ignorance that you started it. But then there are still some children on their own. Those ones are lucky. You're on your own. There's no parent to guide you and you don't get into drugs.
Yeah, indeed. And I'll take this last message. How early can a child begin to take drugs? From what age?
Medication that's to help. Even from
The one that is abused.
No, they should not even take it. There's no age at which you should even take it.
Okay.
We see people taking it in primary schools now.
Yeah. You know, it's the youth, and it's very topical for us to talk about these things because it's all over the news. I take a few more messages and then we talk about rehab. Mm-hmm. Doctor, thank you very much for this topic and for answering to all our questions. Also, sensitizing especially the youths on these social ills and that eating deep into the fabrics of the society. All right, thank you very much. That was just an appreciation. Doctor, I'd like to find out from you, if my daughter is taking Tramol, what are the behaviors that I'm going to notice?
Okay.
We spoke about that, but you can maybe she was not there when we began.
I'll just enlighten her. If your daughter is taking Tramol, you will have to be very vigilant when you're observing her. First of all, you look at her nostrils. There might be wounds around the nostrils to show that she is not in the Tramadol. Also, you might also check her behavior. How is she? Does she feel more confident than she used to feel? Does she always close herself up? Does she, after her parties, come home and then speak in a kind of way that you were not expecting? That's
so bold.
They are so bold towards you. What else can you also be looking for? Does she have some panic attacks? Is she more agitated? Is she more anxious than she normally used to be?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You also have to observe her. Does she sneak out of the house at some times to go and get some things? You can check her school bags. Do you find some packets of Tramadol behind the bed or in the toilet?
At the end of the day, the parents have to really be vigilant because your child can be, you know, taking these drugs, and if you're very absent from the house, you never know. The consequences become grave. All right, this one says, Doctor, why is it written on Tramadol that it should not be sold internally or mainly for export, whereas it's not even produced here in Cameroon? Is it a monster, doctor, from the Pamtifit Inuhau in Swa?
It shouldn't be imported.
It should not be sold internally, and it's written mainly for export. When it's not producing, I mean, it was imported into Cameroon.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't they sell that in the countries where that it is produced?
I believe that this medication is also sold in those countries where it is produced.
Okay.
It's just the use which there's a problem.
All right. Mm. This one says, Doctor, I've noticed that my son is acting abnormally, but I have not found anything that shows that he's taking Tramol.
No, in no way are we saying that all abnormal behaviors by children is induced by Tramol. We are just saying that parents should be vigilant.
Yeah, it could be and
it could not also be.
Okay. This one says, Doctor, is it possible for us to use other drugs to deal with drug abuse?
Yes, in the management of drug abuse, you'll see that they use some other drugs to use other drugs to annihilate the effects of this recreational drugs such as cannabis and other things. But it's a practitioner prescription. I can't give the drugs and you go and you start
trying at home. All right, Doctor, how slowly should we withdraw children from drugs?
It's a whole protocol. You are going to be told how you're going to be.
And I think you as a parent cannot do it on your own. You need
No, you need help. You need experts to deal with it. Because even in the process of doing it, there are some reactions which come up and you will not be able to handle them.
All right.
So you can't just read it and then go and start applying it.
Of course, you can make a major mistake which can boomerang. Mm-hmm. All right, this one says, Doctor, how can we diagnose clinically if a child is on drugs?
The symptoms. And, of course, you're going to rely more on the behavioral changes. Unless, as I was talking about serotonin syndrome, you reach a certain level where there are clinical symptoms which can orientate you. But most of it is mostly the behavior which is going to change. The approach which the child had is going to change with the other people around the child. That's what's going to prompt you to know that there's something. And then now you can further investigate and then discover it. But to say that there are symptoms such as fever, cough that the child is going to have is not possible. So you have to be very vigilant to be able to catch these children who are using those things.
All right. And Doctor, is it possible for a mother who is pregnant to pass these drugs on to the child in her womb?
There are some of the drugs which can cross the placenta and get into the child.
And it can have negative effects on the child, right?
Negative effects. Poor development, start with that, poor development, retarded mental capacities in those children. Those ones are very, very common. Mm.
Okay. So pregnant women are advised to stay away from drugs. All right, this one says, Doctor, how can we convince youths not to take drugs when they find that the causes, the reasons why they take the drugs is more important than the consequences?
It all starts with education at all levels. At the family level, in the house, where the home training is being done, we have to educate these children. Drugs are not good. When they are watching these movies and they see those drugs, it's the moment for the parents to engage the discussion and tell them that that thing you're seeing is not good, mm-hmm. and so on. Parents also, we have to refrain from consuming such products in front of children, drinking excessively, smoking and other things in front of the children, because when they see them, they tend to think that those are normal things, and they instead go and then they do them. Now at the school level, also, the teachers have a key role in educating their children. Once in a while, you could create maybe a forum, a drama, something where children are going to come and participate, and they're going to see that this is not good. You could form some songs which children sing. Those are the kind of things which remain in their minds, and they are always going to know that when they're talking about this, no, it is not a good thing. At all levels, that's primary, secondary. If we do those things, also the government also has to help us in our policy to kill selling of the drugs, which can lead to
addiction.
Yes, addiction. So wrong use of those drugs, if sold, can lead to addiction. So there should be some policy on how those drugs should be sold and to whom they should be sold to.
All right. But just want to say, Doctor, you know, the selling of drugs is a whole network. The use and abuse of drugs is a whole network. Is it possible for this network to be dismantled?
It's very difficult to dismantle.
I can imagine. Because we were at the youth village, and a lady testified that it was being sold in the school canteen. So you can imagine, mm-hmm. if you can pass through the school canteen, it's very difficult
very
for
difficult.
You to... I mean, it's a whole difficult and, you know, swirly and curly network that you really need to...
It's very difficult to combat them, but it's possible.
It's possible.
Because I know I was once in a snack and I saw... Some people, they were smoking the marijuana. Since I didn't know the smell, my friends told me they are smoking marijuana here and we should go because the police is going to come. So I believe that the forces of law, they are doing some work, because once you start smoking it and some bartenders get to know about it, they signal
just
them
signal
and they come
them,
and
yeah.
catch you, yes. But there are some places where they will not signal and it just goes like that.
So if all Cameroonians can denounce those people who smoke these drugs or who take them, it will be a good thing to
good
dismantle.
Thing.
All right, so I said, Doctor, my cousin takes cannabis and when he gets high, he is extremely good than when he's normal. Even at the level of his behavior towards people, I want you to tell me about that, Doctor, please.
Well, he's taking it because he was probably, maybe his self-esteem had been killed and he was told that, okay, well, you are like this, you are like that. Now he has seen some substance which makes him a better person. He needs sessions to be able to make him know that on his own he can attain that level without probably taking the cannabis. So you could refer him to Group Medical Center and we are going to continue
of course.
From there.
And I also think that some people, you know, need to become, you know, when you're not on drugs, you become very aggressive. Mm-hmm. But when you take the drugs, it calms you. Maybe that's why when he's on drugs, he's calm, and when he's not on drugs, he's aggressive, because you know you're addicted. You're looking for the drug, and that's why you become agitated and you're very hostile.
Mm, because those recreational drugs, there are three classes: ones that make you to hallucinate, the ones that make your mood uplift your mood, and the ones that give you a down mood.
Okay.
So probably if you are too agitated, you need something to calm you, and when you take that, you are calm.
Okay. Mm.
But there are other things we can do to make you calmer without necessarily taking drugs, which will later on become addictive.
All right. This one says, Doctor, is taking an overdose of these drugs through the mouth not going to cause any problem? I'm Fali Eric in Bokito, wherever that is found.
like, for example, Tramadol, if you take an overdose of Tramadol, you might have the side effects which I mentioned, but mostly are the GI disorders, the gastrointestinal disorders, which you're going to have. But it takes some time for you to attain the addictive level, because immediately you are not addicted to it. So it's with time that you're going to be addicted.
All right.
The problem is after the first pass through the liver, much of the harmful effects of tramadol, that's the recreational aspect of it, is taken out.
All right.
That's why we prefer people to take it orally.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Doctor, what risk does a fetus run when the mother smokes cigarettes? Ngule Thomas.
There are so many risks of smoking cigarettes.
Okay.
It starts with the malformations. There's a high risk of the child getting malformed from if the parents are taking cigarettes. For malformations, we can talk of malformations in all the systems, from the nervous system to all the systems. After malformations, we can even talk of the mother might lose that pregnancy. Mm-hmm. It might lead to preterm children and other things.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if you don't want that to happen to your baby, you should stay away from cigarettes. All right, but speaking of cigarettes and malformation, you said they have drugs in alcohol too. And sometimes I hear people saying that it's good to take Beaufort when you're pregnant. I think Beaufort, I export one of them. I don't know how true that is.
There are many things which people say to encourage others to take whatever they want them to take, but I don't know what is in Beaufort that is going to help a pregnant woman. Why Beaufort or why 3-3 export? I don't really know.
All right, let's talk about rehab. We have about 7 more minutes to round up on the topic. So how can someone have rehabilitation when you have become addicted to drugs?
First of all, once we discover that you're addicted, you are going to discuss, and the people who are competent are the psychologists and the psychotherapists. You discuss with them, and now from your discussions, they are going to determine at what level they can place you, because there are algorithms to help the management of the rehabilitation. So there are some people who will be placed on drugs, and the drugs are going to help you to not want these substances, not want to consume these substances. There are other people that you cannot only end at the drug level. You might have other detoxification processes which you might go through. There are for some people, it's just therapy, just discussing with the person, just discussing and placing the person on some exercises might help them not have this dependence on these substances. So it is a whole algorithm, and it is case by case.
Case by case.
So it depends. But it all starts, first of all, by meeting the competent people who can help you.
But, doctor, how do you even start the discussion, telling someone that, okay, let's go and just... Because some people, they deny mm-hmm. that I'm not mm-hmm. on drugs, don't even mm-hmm. open your mouth and say... So how do you open the conversation to, come to the person and say, you have this problem and I think that you need to seek help?
I think it's preferable to go to the person when the person is low, or after an episode of being high and the person now is calm. You can then approach the person and tell the person that, well, you might not really tell the person that you have a problem and I'm taking you to hospital. You can just tell the person that, well, you just like us to go to hospital and discuss with the doctor. Maybe the person should just accompany you. And once you come to the hospital and you start discussing, then now you can lay the problem complaint. And then they start discussing with the... You can brief the doctor even before, so that during the consultation, it's like the doctor is asking questions and it's not you who is accusing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this other one, someone has just sent a message. Doctor, my cousin isn't aggressive as a normal person. When he is high, he's too good. But as a normal person, he's a good person. But when he's high, he's too good. So the drugs make... Maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe it's a good thing, but since he's already good, why should he be better? He should just remain
good. Does he want to become Jesus Christ? But anyway, drugs are bad, whatever the situation. So whether you become too good, in the long run, mm-hmm. it's going to have mm-hmm. a negative effect. And I take this other question. Doctor, speaking of rehab, is it possible for students especially to have rehab, considering the fact that they are going to school and they don't have enough time to be in the hospital all the time?
Yes, rehab does not mean you're just in the hospital.
Do you have to stay in the hospital if you're on rehab?
No, you don't need to.
Because some people are locked up, chained. Do you have to go through?
At certain levels, as I said, after your consultation, the doctor will know at what level he's starting his treatment with you. There are some people who need to be locked up. who need to be in the intensive care unit, others in the intensive care unit. There are some people who need constant observation. So it depends now, but it's not everybody who is doing a rehab that will go and be locked up somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right. So for students, well, how can they program that?
Like what we do, as I said, every month we receive some students coming for that. What we do mostly, what I see the psychologist doing is she discusses with them and then they plan the sessions. They always come for sessions sequentially and then she evaluates them. Some make progress, some are not really making progress. Maybe I'll ask her after this what exactly she asked them to do during those sessions.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But some actually get out of it or some reduce the amount of drugs they consume.
So are you saying that it is only via psychological process and sessions that someone can get out of this addictive behavior?
There are drugs which you could take to bring you out of them.
All right, mm-hmm. Accompanied by the
sessions.
All right. Mm-hmm. Doctor, so what is your final words to youth? Because this problem, we have spoken about it over and over throughout the week. So what's your message to youth to make them, know that this is really bad? Because just talking about it, in a nice tone can make them think that guy is joking. So to make them fear to use drugs and the consequences, final words from you before we close the program.
Okay. To my fellow youths, I'll tell them that we are the cream of the society, of the Cameroon society, and we are going to inherit this society. We have to ask ourselves questions. What kind of society do we want to inherit? Is it a society full of drug addicts, which will not be able to manage the resources which we are going to inherit? Is it a society that we criticize and which we want to create? We want to create a better one. Which kind of society are we planning on building in the future? If you think we want to build a better society, then taking drugs is not the way to build that society. We should refrain from taking drugs. We should instead mobilize our efforts on things which are more constructive for the nation. So if you think you are having a problem and you cannot do without drugs, I think you can do without those drugs. You just need to contact the right people who can help you. And we are always open. We are always available. You're going to seek solutions and you're going to become a better person.
And I should add that the person talking to you is a very young doctor. So you should be making something useful out of your life because he did. And that's why he's a doctor at a very young age. So that was Dr. Alistair Mopesimo. Can we have your number so that in case we can call you?
Okay, I'll give you my number and the number of my structure. My number is very simple, 67444-7555.
All right.
Very easy, 7444-7555.
All right, thank
and
you,
doctor. And if you don't get me at that number, you can get me at 679-050-404.
All right, thank you very much, doctor, for coming to talk to you about this very pertinent issue, drug use and drug abuse. We hope that we can do many more programs in the future. And to all our listeners out there, stay away from drugs because your health is your wealth.
SOS. SOS.